Democratic candidate for governor Mary Burke released her jobs plan this morning. She's calling it Invest for Success. Governor Scott Walker's campaign is saying this plan will stall economic recovery and take Wisconsin in the wrong direction. Here's a clip from the video the Burke campaign released with that plan.
Now I'm running for governor to create more good-paying jobs so we can grow and strengthen the middle class, because I know we can do a whole lot better than we've done under Scott Walker.
WPR reporter Chuck Kornbach was with Mary Burke this afternoon when she talked about her jobs plan at Marquette Law School. He's with us now to share those details. Chuck, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Mary Burke unveiled her new jobs plan this morning online, and then she spoke about it this afternoon, as we said, and you were there. Can you sum up the key points of her plan for us?
Well, she sort of stresses five main points, and I'll try to sum them up as briefly as possible. One is to sort of promote industry clusters in the state, like the freshwater effort in Milwaukee going on. Another one is to boost the number of people with degrees, educational degrees. Also invest, boost capital investment in entrepreneurs, boost Wisconsin export efforts, and bringing some foreign manufacturing back to Wisconsin. And finally, what she calls creating a climate to grow jobs and a high-quality workforce, things like investing in infrastructure and improving the overall business climate. So those are the five main points.
Now, Governor Walker has responded to her plan already, saying it looks familiar and that Governor Walker already has the jump on a lot of those things she wants to do. And as for the rest of it, he's skeptical that it will work and could be detrimental for Wisconsin, he says. What did Burke have to say about his response?
Well, I don't know if she had exactly heard that, but the state Republican Party did attack her plan earlier in the day. You know, she says she's got some different ideas than the Walker administration has put into effect, that there would be, as I say, more efforts to, larger efforts to invest in businesses. There would be smarter efforts, less red tape, less confusion and problems at the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. The thing about the trying to get more investment in education through the higher education systems, institutions in the state, there's been suggestions that the Walker administration hasn't funded those as well as the Democrats would like. So there are some differences. She's spelling out some fairly significant differences to what's been taking place the last 4 years.
How much of this plan draws from Mary Burke's experience in the private sector with a Trek bicycle?
Well, she refers to that occasionally. Today she did. As she also mentioned, she had talked with some state business leaders in Milwaukee and elsewhere about putting together this 40-pager. The last few months she's been accumulating ideas from them. I'm not sure how many of their ideas went into this plan, but she says some of them did. She says that, as far as her term as Commerce Secretary in the Doyle administration, she says, and this is a point of some dispute, but she says she helped oversee a big expansion of jobs for a while there. And when she left the Doyle administration, the unemployment rate was down below 5%. Now, it grew quickly thereafterwards, but and whether that was economic, much larger economic forces at work, of course, is the issue.
Well, one of the key parts of her plan, it's centered on organizing economic development around industry clusters rather than, I gather, individual businesses. Could you break that down for us? What does that mean?
Well, sort of like I mentioned before, there's in Milwaukee, there's this freshwater effort. In other words, there's a number of businesses that rely on selling products to people who need clean water. And a number of them have gotten together since that Wisconsin's experience with abundant amounts of water, usually, like Michigan and inland lakes and rainfall and snow and so on, that we have some pretty good experience in selling, making and selling products that take advantage of our knowledge in clean water and selling them to parts of the globe where water is harder to come by. So, and there are other industries as well. So the idea from Ms. Burke is to try and boost these, get them, bring together cluster leaders to a governor's leadership council to help steer development strategies, fund cluster-based solutions. This cluster idea, of course, has been going on in other states as well. Burke says Wisconsin has some strengths that are underutilized.
And before I let you go, Chuck, do you have a sense of how the plan is going over so far?
Well, it's gotten some support from those left of center groups that are liking the. I mean, there are many components to the plan. One of them is to ease student loan burdens, and the lefty group was One Wisconsin Now has come out in favor of that. But again, the Republican Party, Governor Walker, trying to again tie Burke to Jim Doyle and suggesting that things are moving along in Wisconsin, jobs are being created, and what Burke is suggesting would take things backward. Burke says, in some more response to that, she says she would try to hold the line on taxes, that the way she would find money to pay for some of these things is go through the state budget a little more closely and find ways to save there.
All right, Chuck, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, WPR reporter Sean Johnson is with us in studio. He's been with Governor Walker today and has some of his reaction to Mary Burke's new jobs plan now. Sean, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, you've been traveling with Governor Walker today. What did he have to say about Mary Burke's new jobs plan?
Yeah, he spoke to reporters in a factory about 40 minutes north of Madison today, was asked specifically about Mary Burke's plan and the elements involving those business clusters you were talking about with Chuck, and about venture capital. And here's what the governor had to say.
Well, I think actions speak louder than words. We've been doing that with clusters, whether it's in manufacturing, agriculture, clean water technology, biosciences. Those are all things we focused on, not just individual employers. We've been doing that over the last 3 years. Beyond that, we talk about venture capital. It's interesting that someone who was a part of administration where they didn't do that when she was the Secretary of Commerce is comparing it to. We've actually made the first significant investment in the venture capital, $25 million. We'll look to add more in the future.
And so I think, that you could hear that theme sort of echo in his remarks later on. Why weren't you doing this when you were Commerce Secretary? You were part of an administration that had a chance to do this. Why are you talking about it now?
And also Mary Burke, a marquee part of her plan seems to be those clusters, those business clusters that she was talking about. And Governor Walker saying, yeah, I got there first.
He is. And, I'm not sure how much the average person is spending time talking about business clusters. So it's going to be how either one of them sells it.
Well, his campaign has already come out to say that this plan is redundant. Governor Walker saying, as we said, he's addressed these ideas, some of these issues like the skills gap. Any other rebuttal that you heard to Mary Burke's plan?
He's trying to kind of frame her as a little bit of a flip-flopper right now. She came out earlier in the campaign, said she wasn't going to make any promises along the lines of what he did with saying he was going to create 250,000 jobs in his first term. She's now at this event this afternoon, I gather, was talking about how she's going to try to position Wisconsin in the top 10 among job growth among the states. So it's a little bit of a promise there. Interestingly enough, the governor also today was talking about his famous 250,000 jobs pledge. He's now saying, it's okay if it happens a little bit after the end of my first term. I don't think it matters if it's a few months off. So, that it sounds like he might be a little bit flexible on that. I don't know how other people will feel about that.
So he's foreshadowing a little wiggle room for himself down the road.
Well, the economist that I talked to about this last week at Marquette University was saying it's probably mathematically impossible to hit that 250,000 number. And so now it becomes a matter of how he markets what he does have.
And in terms of one of the most striking differences between Governor Walker and Mary Burke, her experience in the private sector, have you had a sense about how that particular difference will be played out, especially from the vantage point of Governor Walker during the race?
He hasn't. I mean, Republicans have kind of attacked her for Trek's experience with outsourcing some jobs overseas. You haven't heard the governor do that. I think the point she's going to be making as the counter to what the governor says to her is that I'm the one with private sector experience, and that the governor really has spent his career in government. And so you can kind of imagine that back and forth going on here. The governor seems to be viewing Mary Burke as somebody who's a commerce secretary under Jim Doyle, and pretty much any other experience is irrelevant as far as he's concerned, politically speaking.
Do you think that come election time, the big issue is going to be jobs? Is this what it's all going to be about?
It's probably been the big issue for the last several elections. I think, regardless of what the numbers are or what people promise, it seems like people are going to vote based on how they feel and how they feel things are going. And you know, if they don't feel that things have turned around, then Mary Burke has a chance at winning here. If things are looking up, if people are feeling better, you know, races generally favor the incumbent.
Sean, thanks a lot for coming by.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Sean Johnson, WPR's state capitol reporter here on Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up after the news, Mordecai Lee, government affairs professor at UW-Milwaukee, has been listening along. He'll have more analysis. And you can join the conversation about jobs in the governor's race at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're continuing our conversation about jobs in the race for governor of Wisconsin. Mary Burke, the Democratic challenger, unveiled her jobs plan earlier today. The governor and his Republican allies responded.
We're turning to Mordecai Lee now as we continue our conversation about the new jobs plan just announced. Mordecai is a professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee. Mordecai, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, Veronica.
Well, what is your initial reaction to Mary Burke's new plan announced today? It's called Invest for Success.
Well, as you'd expect of a professor, I believe in the power of ideas. And so I'm just really glad that she released the paper. I took a quick look at it. It's on the web for any of your audience to take a look at, just like people can access Scott Walker's campaign site and look at his economic proposals. I think elections should be about ideas. I don't think elections should be about who looks better on TV or who has better commercials. And of course, economics are the top-tier issues for any campaign, given what's going on in America today. So every individual listener can read her plan, can read his plan, and can decide who they think ought to be governor for the next 4 years.
And we have a clip. There was a web component that she released today as well, talking about the job plan and some of the rationale behind it. And we're going to hear a clip from that in just a moment. But we also want to know what you think. Do you think these plans are this plan is a good idea for Wisconsin from Mary Burke? Why or why not? And how do you think the plan will come into play in the governor's race? You can call and let us know what you think at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@WPR.org. And now let's listen to a clip from Mary Burke.
Wisconsin has created jobs at just half the national average, and we're facing a growing income gap. These challenges didn't arrive overnight, but Walker's approach is making them worse. We need big, bold ideas to build a thriving top 10 economy and new leadership to make it happen.
And that's some of the preface for Mary Burke's new jobs plan unveiled today. Mordecai, she's talking about those ideas you were interested in. And is this going to be a war of ideas? Essentially, we're talking about jobs, the big driving issue in this upcoming race. But how important are these dueling ideas going to be?
I think they're central to the campaign. Unless things unfold in a way that the public can't differentiate between Scott Walker's economic platform and her economic platform, in which case the campaign might be about social issues like abortion and controversial issues like that. But it's pretty traditional, going back to when I was in politics in the 70s and 80s, that what we called bread and butter issues or lunch pail issues were the ones that people cared about, and people could see how it affected them. And so in a sense, the election campaign over the next couple of months is going to be a referendum on who the voters think can do a better job for the next 4 years, or sometimes sort of flipping it, if they want to give Governor Walker a good grade for what he's done in the last 4 years or a bad grade, who deserves to be governor for the next 4 years. You know, that's why we still hold elections, because it's so unpredictable.
Now, we just talked to our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, from Wisconsin Public Radio, and he was saying that it looks pretty impossible. Some economists are saying that Governor Walker will hit his stated jobs goal, 250,000 new jobs, and that he's going to sort of portray it as something that, you know, at least the state is moving in the right direction, and that's a positive thing, and that's what we need to talk about, not missing this mark of 250,000 jobs. Do you think that that will satisfy people, the fact that Governor Walker is saying, yeah, we are moving in a good direction?
Gosh, beats me, in the sense of it's so unpredictable what gets traction and what doesn't get traction with the voters. I think we're seeing what a skilled politician Scott Walker is, in the sense that he confronts it head on. And Sean said that he raised it. He talked about the 250,000 promise. You know, will the election be about you didn't succeed in your promise and therefore you don't deserve re-election? Or will it be about the way you just described, Veronica? It was a stretch goal. It was a tough goal. You're making progress, and you deserve another 4 years. And, you know, what's so interesting about this election is that Mary Burke is sort of running as a kind of a standard-issue Democrat, and I think it's fair to say that Scott Walker is a standard-issue 2014 Republican. But here we've got a situation where she's talking about being a business person. We're so used to having the Republican candidate talk about being a business person in the way that Ron Johnson beat Senator Russ Feingold going back 4 years ago. So to me, it's wonderful to have this kind of election campaign going on for the next couple of months.
Yeah, that is a different dynamic that you just framed there. How do you see that playing out in the coming months?
Well, my impression is that she's going to talk about her business experience. In other words, that's her qualification, in the same way that Ron Johnson talked about his business experience and that he knew how to create jobs. And that was a winning theme against Senator Feingold. But I think even though she talks about it a lot, it's more to the point that she's running as a standard-issue Democrat. In other words, she's not running as a conservative Democrat. She's not running as a highly liberal Democrat, just a kind of a no-name Democrat, which is probably a deliberate campaign decision that she's the Democrat with no extra negatives. And how do people feel about Scott Walker versus her?
Let's go to our phone lines now. We have Toby joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Toby.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. The reason I'm calling today, I just think that what we're seeing is, you know, bold ideas is great, and we need more detail from Mary Burke on that. But we've seen bold ideas already from Walker. The problem is he doesn't want to have those ideas judged based on the success of what they're actually accomplishing. He doesn't want to talk about the 250,000 jobs promise, you know, as far as what he's actually done, because he did big things when he first came into office, and they just weren't successful in the way that we were promised. And I think he's judging his, he wants to be judged based on how things that he's done play with, you know, primary audiences in Iowa and New Hampshire rather than what they're actually doing for Wisconsin.
Okay, thanks a lot, Toby. And Mordecai, what do you think?
I think Toby sort of hit it on the head in the sense of, will this election be a referendum on his incumbency? In other words, it's a kind of a backward-looking report card. You pass, you didn't pass. Or will it be a forward-looking perspective on who will do a better job in the future? If Toby's perspective is right, in other words, you promised 250,000 jobs, you didn't reach it, therefore I'm voting, you know, fill in the blank. I'm voting for you because you're trying. I'm voting against you because you didn't accomplish it. If this is a referendum on the 250,000 jobs, then Mary Burke is advantaged by that.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your thoughts, Toby. And we'll move on to Nick joining us in Greenfield. Hey, Nick.
Yeah, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I hope you can hear me all right, because I got a speakerphone. Your guest mentioned about the campaigning on ideas, and my comment is that Governor Walker campaigned and kept his idea about what he was going to do to the unions. He kept that a secret that was practically never mentioned during his entire campaign. And so my thinking of looking back at Walker is, what sneaky thing has he got up his sleeve next if he does get reelected, and that he's going to spring on us, as he said in his own words, drop the bomb. So what bomb has he got up his sleeve this time?
Okay, Nick, thank you for calling in. And, you know, is there going to be a sense, as Nick has expressed, that maybe Scott Walker is not going to be upfront with all the policies that he wants to pass?
Well, that's generally speaking the narrative against him. And I think when we look at the recall election for the governor's race, that was a referendum about Act 10, whether it was Nick's perspective, why didn't you tell us about this before you were elected, or whether it's a slightly different perspective, I just don't like Act 10. And certainly he survived the recall, and there was a thin layer of voters in the recall election who said that, well, they didn't necessarily agree with Act 10, but they just didn't feel he deserved to be recalled for that issue. And so that layer of voters is a little bit in play. How will they fall in November? Will they now say, because of Act 10, I'm not going to vote for Walker? Or Act 10 wasn't that bad, I'm voting for him? Again, it's a battle of ideas, which I think is terrific.
Now, it's possible that Scott Walker, as we're hearing so much speculation about, has bigger things on his mind than the governor's race, that he may be a candidate for president come 2016. How will that, do you think, affect the governor's race, and what are some of the different scenarios that could play out there?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that he'd like to run. I mean, he issued a book. He's making appearances in New Hampshire and Iowa. And I say more power to him in the sense of that it's good to have candidates from Wisconsin on the national scene. Some people like him. Some people don't like him. If he's successful, that'll bring attention to Wisconsin. And also, we have to understand that if he wants to be a successful candidate for president, then he has to be a successful governor first. In other words, he has to do well. And I think we'd want that of any politician, Democrat or Republican, that they'd be so ambitious that they want to do very well by the voters of Wisconsin.
Mordecai, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Veronica.
We've been talking to Mordecai Lee, professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee, to talk about the new jobs plan Mary Burke unveiled today and the response from Governor Walker.